My name is Karen, and I am Pastor Damien's wife. And he is doing really well after surgery on Friday. It is amazing how they can, yes. It's amazing the robotic surgeries are unbelievable. I'm sure we have nurses in here, and you know a lot more than I do. But, you know, I mean, they're just little tiny, tiny incisions. They just suck that kidney right out of there. But he is not in pain anymore. Thank you so much for praying for that. He slept really well last night, took a couple of laps around the block, and is moving right along. So thank you for your prayers. Please keep praying for him because the inside needs to heal. And, you know, you don't want to overdo it. Want all of that to get working and where it's supposed to be. A couple of announcements before we kind of dig into things tonight. We have our women's conference coming up a week from this Saturday. It's always a great day to come, to be fed, to worship together, and just to be in God's presence with so many other women. It's a unique experience, and don't miss it. Our theme this year is who or what defines you, because so much in this world, well, it just bombards us all the time, and we think we're supposed to be one way, we think we're, you know, we're supposed to do that, or somebody has said something about us, and now we've taken that on as our identity, good or bad. We want to know what God says, and what the Word, what His Word says, and who we're supposed to be, and the freedom that we have to be who He has called us to be. So, good theme. Please come out for that. All the high school girls are in here tonight. Glad that you are. Yay. So, come to the women's conference. This is a really good theme for you, good teaching for you to hear and get under your belt. We always need women to serve. It's a wonderful day, lots of people around, but there's lots to do. So, if you want to serve, there's a sign-up sheet at the table. You can do that, sign up afterward. Also, for lunch tickets, it's always easier to get them ahead of time than the day of, and you can do that too. And whether you come or not, will you please pray for the conference? Pray for Kathy Dickinson, who will be coming and teaching, for myself, who will be teaching, and for everything and all of the aspects of it. We cover it in prayer because God tells us to pray, and that shows our dependence on Him. So please join us for prayer on that. And then also, most of you have probably registered for your small group on these Wednesday evenings. You know our format is we teach one Wednesday, the next Wednesday you meet in your small group, the following Wednesday we teach, and on throughout the year. Most of the small groups are held in homes to make the environment more intimate, you know, more comfortable. We do have two groups that meet at the church. Those tend to get really large, and we have them here for those women who need to drop their kids off, or they come in one car and their husband goes to men's study or something. So if you don't need to be at the church, for your benefit, go get in another group that's smaller. The smaller, you know, about 8 to 10 is really, 8 to 10 to 12 maybe, is the perfect size for a small group. Otherwise, they get too big and then you don't get to know each other and you don't get to share and that kind of a thing. So if you haven't registered, you can do that. Do you have to go to a small group? No. You don't have to. If you don't want to, you can come here and teach. I mean, well, you never know. I may ask you one night. You can come in and listen to the teaching. And also, there are women who don't come to the teaching, and they want a small group. This year will be a little different because of the way hormones. I don't know why. Where the homework is formatted. And speaking of the homework, not my hormones, it's not homework this year. We're not calling it homework. I've never liked that word anyway. They are reflection discussion questions. So whether you go to a group or not, grab that the reflection questions on the way out. These are to get you thinking about the verse that we've just taught on, see what the Lord ministers to you, spending time with Him in reflection and meditation rather than just answering questions and doing a lot of homework. It will not overwhelm you. It'll be real good for the heart. Not that other years weren't, but this year, you know, Lord always does something different, and this is what He's doing. So our theme, our series this year is called Essential Verses for Every Woman. I like the word essential. It means crucial, vital, important, indispensable, and absolutely necessary. Do we all get that? Bible verses, these verses are crucial. They're vital to us. We need them in our lives. Now, the whole Bible is full of essential verses, all of them, because they're God's word. It's full of foundational verses for our lives. But the Lord has led me to a handful of verses for us to study, for us to learn from, for us to meditate on, and then apply to our lives. These verses, and I didn't choose them, I feel like the Lord, I mean, because there were, boy, was, I mean, I had a list. And it's like, Lord, what verses do you want? I mean, they're all good. Oh, I want to do this. No, I want to do this. You know, they're all good. So these verses have been foundational to my life, to my walk with the Lord. And I'm sure they have been to yours too. There are verses that we go back to all the time. There are verses, many of them we have memorized. There are verses that we fall on. There are verses that are anchors to us. You know that anchor, and you know you can wobble, but it's got a firm grip on you, and you're not going to wobble too far. There are verses that are a compass. They show us the way, how to think, what to say, what to do, how to behave. We're all in different places in our relationship with the Lord. We've all known the Lord for a different amount of time, and it really doesn't matter how long you've known the Lord. That doesn't mean you know Him well or don't know Him well. There are levels to any relationship in life that we have, and if you just think about your relationships with people, some are very surface. Not that you mean them to be. They just are. You just meet people. You know people. You can chit-chat. But it's surface. It has absolutely nothing to do with anything. It doesn't do anything for you, good or bad or whatever. But it's just surface. You're just not going to go deeper. Then there are relationships that are, you know, a little bit more than that. They're acquaintances. We chat. We may share a few things. You may know a few things about my life. I may know a few things about your life. But that's kind of where it sits. It doesn't go any deeper than that. There are casual friendships. Again, maybe a little bit deeper. Maybe you know a little bit more about me and I know a little bit more about you. Maybe we've prayed together from time to time. But it doesn't go beyond that. And then there are those deep relationships that we have with maybe a small handful of people that we share heart to heart. You know my struggles, I know your struggles, we pray for one another, we know your family history, we know, you know, all these little tidbits of information about you that help us understand each other. And then there are those very, very few, one, two, maybe three intimate relationships that we have with people. They know us inside and out. It's our relationship with the Lord. We're all in a different level with Him. And again, it doesn't matter if I've walked with him for 40 years, because I could have walked with him for 40 years and I have a surface relationship with him. Or I have an acquaintance relationship, or a casual relationship. I could have known the Lord for 5 years and I have a deep, intimate relationship with him. We are all in different places with the Lord. Some of us can be in his word, study his word, know his word inside and out, yet we don't really allow him to work that into our lives. And there are others who, we know John 3:16, but beyond that, we don't know a whole lot, but we have a really deep, intimate relationship with the Lord. All kinds of different people, all kinds of different relationships that we have with the Lord. But our relationship, no matter where we are with him, a relationship with the Lord is a progression. We all learn the same basic Bible truths in our lives. Trust, faith, surrender, those kind of things. But we learn them in increments. We go deeper in the Lord as we walk with him and allow him to work in our lives, but we're learning the same lessons at a deeper level. The lessons I'm learning today after walking with the Lord for 36 years, I think, they're the same lessons I learned day one, but at a much deeper and harder level. Deeper in that it goes from our heads, our minds, into our heart, but then it goes beyond that. It ultimately goes to the core of who we are, our central nervous system, the operating system. When his truths that I'm learning over and over again, they're assimilated in me. They become a part of me. That's how I operate. I automatically then will think trust. I will automatically think put off and put on. I will automatically walk in the Spirit, those kind of things. But it is a progression, and we're all at different places. I had a friend, we were talking about this, and she described her learning these same lessons over and over. She described it, I mean, I talk about going deeper, and she talked about it as like this cone, and like trust is down here, you know, the fat part of the cone, and then you come over here, you know, gradually spiraling up, it becomes narrower, but you're learning trust, and then over here you're learning trust, until one day we're face to face with the Lord. God will use our entire lifetime preparing us for eternity. It's going to take our entire life to get us ready for eternity. The Apostle Paul said, "Not that I have already attained." And if you would think anybody would have attained to Christ's likeness, it would have been the Apostle Paul. But he said, "No, not that I've already attained or am already perfected. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do," and that's in Philippians 3. So we're to keep growing. We've not attained. We are, yes, closer to the Lord than we once were, but the more that I know, the more I know that I don't know. So I got to keep growing. Every living thing has a growth rate. Different growth rate, right? So humans grow at a certain rate very differently than animals, right? You know, a dog or cat or horse or whatever, they all grow, they mature much more quickly than humans do. It takes us more years. The mushroom, in case you don't know this, has a very speedy growth rate. It takes about 3 weeks for a mushroom to come to complete maturity and be ready to be consumed. Whereas an oak tree only grows about 12 to 14 inches a year. So when you see those giant oaks, They're 50, 60 feet tall. They're 50, 60 years old. It's taken them that long to grow. Whereas a mushroom, it's really quick. We, in our Christian walks, we can have spurts like a mushroom, where we just like all of a sudden, whew, I mean, we've just like really grown. But overall, our Christian maturity to become Christ-like, that growth is incremental. It's like an oak tree. So don't get discouraged where you are. Most importantly, keep growing. Spiritual growth is not automatic. Did you know that? You don't become a Christian, and it's just like an automatic thing to grow. No. It takes intentional commitment. You must want to grow. Decide to grow. Make an effort to grow, and then persist in growing. Like the Apostle Paul, who said, "This one thing I do. I press on. I reach for the goal. I want to be like Jesus. So I'm going to make it my aim to become like him. So I'm going to take his word and I'm going to apply that to my life." So this year, as we study and we learn from, meditate on his word, these essential verses, let's be intentional. Remember that word. I'm going to be intentional this year. I'm going to intentionally learn and apply these verses to my life so I will grow. 2 Corinthians 3:18 in the Living Bible says, "And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him." And the Spirit of the Lord wants to work in us. Let's allow him to do that. So tonight I want to look at two passages, both in Psalms. So if you turn to Psalm 119, 92, I'm just going to do a little brief introduction here. Psalm 119, 92. Psalm 119 is full of the Word of God. It is the Word of God, but it's talking about the Word of God and what it means to us and what it does in our lives. But two verses, 92 and 93, they are particularly important to me. They have a special significance for me because I've shared before, I went through a very hard, long period of time where I was physically fatigued, mentally fatigued. It was years, and these two verses were my lifeline. "Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life." And I want to break that down a little bit. So the psalmist says, unless your law, and that's his word, his truth, his ways, unless your truth, your word, your ways had been my delight, my joy, my comfort, and my anchor, I would have died. I would have perished. Because what else could have saved me? What else could have... If the Word of God is an anchor, it's an anchor to our lives, but it's an anchor to our minds. What else could save me but the Word of God? And then the psalmist said, "I will never forget your precepts or your word. I will never forget. I will never neglect. I will never disregard. I will never cast aside or treat lightly God's word, his truth, his ways, because by them you've given me life. His word is life. His word keeps us alive." When you feel like you're in quicksand, whatever trial you're in, could be a physical trial, could be an emotional trial, a mental trial, a relational trial, a financial trial, whatever it is, and you feel like you're in quicksand, His Word keeps us alive. Meditating, thinking on His Word keeps us alive. For a Christian, His Word is their lifeline. That's for a Christian. As a Christian, the most important thing, God's Word, lifeline, my daily bread, my sustenance, again, my anchor and my compass, His Word. Don't ever, ever neglect it. Don't take it lightly. Don't disregard it. Devour it. Whatever your favorite thing is, chocolate, cake, donuts, cinnamon rolls, candy, whatever it might be, chips, whatever it might be, the Word of God, you need to devour the Word of God way more than you devour those. And there's no guilt when you devour the Word of God, and no calories. It's just good stuff. And I know that many of you say amen to that. You know, you've been there. You've lived it. You've had your many trips in the quicksand, and you've reached out to the Word of God, and the Word of God has saved you and has pulled you out. I know that you know that from experience. So this year, as we study these very familiar, to most of us, probably very familiar verses, let's look at them in a deeper way, like the first time. Read them in other translations to help bring to light and to see from a different angle. But as we do that, my prayer for you is that they would become that lifeline in your relationship with the Lord. Again, that anchor and that compass. We always need to know how much the Lord loves us. We need to be reminded of that. Sometimes we forget, or sometimes it's just here, and it's not here, and it's not where we're just comfortable in it and settled in it. So I think it's a nice way to start the year, to be reminded of how much the Lord loves us, who He is in our lives, what He has for us. Some of the verses that we will look at, they can be exhortive verses. They can be very instructional for us. They can be just like a bumper, where if we keep it within that verse, we're going to do okay. But we have to know that they are given to us by a God who loves us, whose heart is for us, that He cares for us. And so I want to talk a little bit for our rest of our time about how much the Lord loves us, who He is, His heart toward us. So if you flip over to Psalm 139. Now, I know for many of us, and it's no secret for me, that the last couple of years have been very, very difficult. We all have our struggles and our trials. Some people have gone through divorces. Some people have lost babies or loved ones or a house or a job or, all kinds of things. So the last couple of years for me have been very hard in a lot of ways. And I sit and I have my quiet time every morning, and typically I will read through the Bible. And it was last May. I remember one morning just, wherever I was in the scriptures, I just thought, oh, Lord, lead me somewhere. And He led me to Psalm 139 because He wanted to minister to my soul, my heart. And so I took a few days, just took sections of Psalm 139 and I journaled them. And that's something that's been newer to me all my walk. I am not a journaler. I don't take my thoughts and put them on paper. It just didn't work. It just didn't flow. Well, the last handful of years, and it's just flowing. So I would sit and I would read, and I mean, I thought, okay, Psalm 139, I'll read the whole thing. That's like, okay, what else can I read? I mean, you know, that's not that long, but the Lord had me sit there and again, just take it in sections. And then I just wrote what he was speaking to me, what I was thinking, what I was talking to him about. And he is so intimate with us in Psalm 139. His sweetness comes forth, his gentleness, his love, and his care. And so I felt prompted to share with you what I journaled. This is not something I normally do. I don't share what I journaled with people. But I really feel like I'm supposed to do that. So as weird as it might be, maybe it's not weird for you, it's weird for me, I'm going to be obedient and do that. So I'm going to read the first four verses. And as I read what I wrote, my prayer is that the Lord will be ministering to you the same thing and 100 times more what he ministered to me and how encouraged and built up and secure I felt through Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Father, you have searched me and examined my heart and my mind thoroughly. You know everything there is to know about me. You alone know what I do every second of the day. You know, you not only know what I do, but you know what I think. You know my thoughts before I think them. You see and watch me wherever I go, whether I'm at home or I travel, when I'm busy or when I rest. You know everything I do and everywhere I go. You are intimately acquainted with all my ways. You know what I'm going to say before I say it or even think it. Thank you, Lord, that you are all-knowing. Nothing slips by you. Nothing surprises you. You do not sleep. Take time off. You don't even blink. Father, I want to know you more, to know your heart and your mind so that I can be further conformed into your Son's image, so that I can fully please you. I want to keep growing. Help me take all these painful and hard things and discover more of you in them. Help me to see your sovereign hand. Use the ugly to make something beautiful. Verse 5. You have hedged me behind and before, and you laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I made my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. You, Father, are omnipresent. You are everywhere at the same time. You are before me. You are behind me. You are all around me. You surround me all the time. There isn't anywhere I could go that you are not there. If I tried to run from you, hide from you, I could not because you are there. On the mountaintops, in the valleys, in darkness and in light, you are there. Your spirit surrounds me and is inside me. I cannot grasp or come close to the knowledge that you have. It's too great. You are big and I am small. Your ways are not like my ways. They are higher and greater. I don't want to run from you or hide from you. I don't want to lean on my own understanding. I want to lean on you and stay in your presence. Why would I want to try and flee from your presence? When you have all knowledge and wisdom, why would I want to lean to my own understanding? When you are good and you do good, why would I go anywhere else or trust anyone or anything else? I do not. You are all sufficient. You will hide me, comfort me, guide me, heal me, restore me, and bless me. You will perfect that which concerns me. I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill his purpose for me. Thank you, Father, that you are working every bit of pain and all these horrible trials together for good in my life. Thank you that the work you began in me, you are continuing and you will complete it. Praise your holy name. He's doing the same in your lives. Verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. You, Father, Creator, awesome God, created me. You chose which parents I would have. You chose my gene pool and my heritage. You created me, formed me in my mother's womb. You formed my tiny little bones and assembled them. You formed my organs and caused my blood to flow. You made my DNA code. You wired my brain using the gene pool you chose for me. You knew me, saw me before you formed me. You are a master creator. Your workmanship is awesome. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. There is no one else exactly like me in physical appearance and temperament. You have given me the freedom to make choices. You are also sovereign, yet you allow me to choose a path. You could force me into choosing you or choosing the right way always, but you've allowed me to learn from my choices. You have allowed me to learn from wrong and sinful choices. You have shaped me, my character, by those choices. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. You know all things. My life is like a tale that has been told. You are amazing. So how and why would I complain about my physical body? How and why would I complain about my life's path? You chose my parents and my gene pool. If I complain about that, then I am complaining about you. I must choose to honor you in what you have given me. I must learn from my family history, from my gene pool, and to choose your ways and your truths. You have given me your Holy Spirit. He lives in me. My physical body is the temple of your spirit. So I want to honor you by taking care of my body. My temperament, personality should reflect your heart, the heart of the Holy Spirit. I want to honor you by yielding to the Holy Spirit and his work so that he flows through me. I praise you, Lord. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wow. I freshly yield, surrender to you, be glorified in and through me. Verse 17. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. How precious are your thoughts concerning me, O God. How vast in number they are. If I try to count them, there would be more of them than there are grains of sand. Who am I? Who are we that you would even think of us, think of me at all? And yet you do. Even though I am dust, it's because you care and you love. You don't wonder about me because you already know about me, yet you think about me. Thank you, Father, for your thoughts. I am not forgotten or overlooked. You have time for me. If I started counting your thoughts now, by the time I fell asleep tonight and woke up in the morning, I would still be counting. And your thoughts are good toward me. You see Jesus in me. You see me as righteous because of the blood of Jesus, holy and complete because of Jesus, secure because of your Holy Spirit within me. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, Savior, and friend. Verse 19. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? Or do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred and count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. The enemies of you are the enemies of me. If people hate you, they will hate me. Jesus, you died for the whole world, taking all the sin upon you. You are not willing that any should perish and go into eternity separated from you. You want them to accept the salvation you have offered. Father, may your will be done on this earth and your kingdom come. Search me thoroughly and know my heart and my mind. Please show me any anxious thoughts. Show me any bad or evil or hurtful thing in me. Show me what offends, displeases, or grieves you. I want to know. I don't want to be blinded by pride. I am willing to know, though it may hurt me or offend me, it's for my good. You and you alone know my heart. You know my motives, whether they are pure or selfish. Thank you for what you have shown me and for the work and refining you have done in my life. You make all things new. You are conforming me into the image of your Son, and you will not stop that work until I am perfected, when I am face to face with you. Please continue to lead me to you. Show me your ways. Teach me your paths. Help my gaze, my focus, my perspective be upon you. I want heaven to fill my thoughts all the day long, and I want to do the work you would have me to do. And I hope that was your heart when you were listening. It certainly is mine, because I wrote that, but I hope the Lord ministered to you and your heart could say, amen. Lord, show me. Do that in my life. Do you see the love the Lord has for us? It doesn't matter what trial we've gone through, what we're in right now. It doesn't matter what people say about you or think about you or who have tried to define you into being something that you're not. God loves you. He sees your heart. He's the only one who knows, the only one. And he's merciful, he's gracious, he's kind, he's compassionate. God's word reveals his heart to us, and every single one of his commands are born out of love. So this year, as we read and we study and we meditate on these verses that he has for us this year, I encourage you to journal your thoughts. Maybe some of you, probably most of you, you do that anyway. Do more of it. And those of you who haven't, just give it a shot. Write down what he speaks to you. Write down what you're thinking. Even if it's confusing thoughts, write them down. He can use it. He can speak to you. The Sundays before the teaching, we're going to post the coming verse in the ladies' room when you walk in on the bulletin board. Just so you know what verse is going to be taught on that Wednesday, you can start meditating on it, reading it, read it again from different translations, journal, meditate on it. Each week, as I said before, when you leave, you're going to be handed the reflection or discussion questions. Take those, spend time with the Lord. You can do that driving in your car. You can do that at work. You can do that gardening. You can do that sitting quietly before him. Give him that time to speak to your heart. He is a speaking God. He always speaks. Quiet your heart to hear him. Talk to him about it. Questions that you're given, you know, talk to them. Talk to him. You know, a question's posed, like, Lord, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I think about that. What do you think about that? Why don't you tell me what to think about that? I don't know. Help me with this. You know, however your relationship is with the Lord. Use this prayer at the end of Psalm 139. Ask the Lord every single time we go into a new verse. Lord, search my heart. Know me. What do you want to speak to me about what's in my heart, my life, through these verses? And then use that verse as a prayer also, Psalm 25:4-5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths and lead me in your truth. Again, 2 Corinthians 3:18 in the Living Bible. And that as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him. And Father, I pray that your Spirit would work in our hearts. And Lord, this is a beginning tonight. Father, the way that you spoke to me for where I was, in reading through Psalm 139, I pray that you would speak to every single one in this room. Father, I pray that they would give that time to settle in their hearts, that you would reveal great and mighty things to them. You would draw them close by your love and your care and your kindness. Build them up, Lord. Encourage them. Direct their paths. If their perspective has gotten off, I pray that you would place it right back on you and how you see things. I thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit how you minister to us. And Father, I know that's your heart, to minister to us, to teach us, so that we grow and we become more like you. So, Father, this is a new beginning, and we know that the work that you begin, you are faithful to complete. We freshly surrender our hearts and our lives to you. Have your way. Hold over our being absolute sway. Praise you and thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and close in a song.